Welcome, children, and your parents and family. Glad to have you
with us as we worship the Lord together as His family. And if you enjoyed that devotion, and it hits on multiple levels, does it not? That is from a book called Thoughts to Make Your Heart Sing by Sally Lloyd-Jones. It is filled with that type of one-minute devotional that has that same type of art. I encourage you to use it, especially if you have younger children. It might be a great way to introduce conversations about faith at home. And that is what we want to talk about this morning for just a little while. I'm going to invite that you turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. The author of that book, Thoughts to Make Your Heart Sing, also wrote one some time ago called the Jesus Storybook Bible. Really encourage this one. We use this in our preschool, and we do devotions, chapel, out of this one. Parents, if you read this with your kids, you will get something out of this. I've even encouraged new believers to read through this and to help them kind of get the big picture. So this is a great book as well for you to look through. Deuteronomy chapter 6. This is a transition time that God is dealing with His people and Moses as they are crossed the River Jordan, are about to cross the River Jordan, about to go into their new home that God has been preparing for them, but it's filled with opposition. And in fact, in Deuteronomy 7, it tells us that there are seven strong nations all around where they're about to go in, and they're just kind of a nomadic nation going through, filled with all types of worship and idols. And so God is preparing them, and He is giving them some instruction. We have probably one of the most important verses for Jews in verse 4, is what's commonly called the Shema, meaning hear. And so this is one that is still quoted very frequently in Judaism today. I'm going to ask that you stand as we read this in honor of this being God's Word. And I'm going to start with verse 1 and go through verse 9. Now this is the commandment, the statute, and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son's son, by keeping all His statutes and His commandments which I command you, all the days of your life, that your days may be long. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. These words that I command you today shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. And you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gate. You may be seated. When I was living in the Boone Blowing Rock area, we had some friends that had a candle business. Wasn't just your ordinary candles, that you know, these little pillar candles, but they would take these candles and would have a base and would dip it in hot wax and then dip it in cool water and would create layer upon layer of multicolored candles. And then I would watch him do quick work as he would use special utensils and would cut the corners and cut the signs and create these folds with these pieces that he peeled off and cut off, so it made beautiful artwork with various colors, and so you could put another little candle inside and it would create this beautiful stained glass look effect through the candle wax. And I would could just sit there and watch them move so quick, so fast. And I was talking to him, asking him, how do you do this, and how did you learn to do this? And he said, you know, the secret is this, in doing this, is that you have 15 minutes to get it done. If you wait beyond 15 minutes, then the wax no longer is soft and pliable and will break on you. I thought about that. Timing is everything when you're working with candles, but timing is also very important when working with children. There is just a fleeting amount of time that we have to work with a younger generation. And it seems forever, like it's in the process, it might seem forever. And before you ever have kids, you feel like, well, that's going to be your whole life having kids. But in reality, it's just a segment of your life, if you live to be the normal age, that you have to work with children. As a church, just because you may not have children biologically, if you are in a church, you have children. They're around you. This is part of what it means to be in Christ, a family together. We have brothers and sisters together. And as such, there is a desire to influence the family that's here. And I've shared with you before that when we worship together, it's not just the mom and dad that's got the kids wrestling that's teaching. We're all teaching them by how we're singing and what we're doing. And so God knows this, is aware of this, and is preparing and helping the nation of Israel say, well, this is what it means to worship God. As you go into a place that's got many different idols, one of them, Baal, was the god of materialism, prosperity. The other prominent idol was Asherah, which was a fertility idol. I think that you can see a lot of similarities in American society today of those two forces at work in our society and the children that we are watching grow up. Now, with that said, what are some things that Jesus gives and how to worship God when you have kids? First, as we read verse 1, he says, look, here's the commandment. And this is not just this one, but there's a whole body of commandments he's given in Deuteronomy. Jesus looked at this and said the most important one is right here in verse 4. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So the Lord God commanded us to teach them that you may do them. All right, so one of the things that we have to understand is to worship God is to, first of all, do it internally. Internally. So a godly worship, a godly family, is one that worship is caught and not just taught. All right? In other words, they see the mom and dad doing the commands, hearing the commands, and doing them. We see this in verse 5 and verse 6, which implies the teacher who loves God, who does God's word, who knows God's word in the center of their being, that they're learning to shape their mind around God. Children, I'm going to give you some questions that I want you to ask your parents as we go. All right? I want you to know, because you already are noticing them. And the questions are, Mom, Dad, what are you listening to? Mom and Dad, what are you listening to? Mom, Dad, what are you looking at? Mom, Dad, what are you talking about? All right? What are you listening to? What are you looking at? What are you talking about? Notice how God is giving these instructions. And what he says how to go about this. You're going to do these things. You're going to love God yourself. But then, make sure you teach them diligently. And then he talks about how. Talk of them. Walk. As you're walking, you're talking. As you're lying down, when you rise up, you're talking of them. You're going to bind them as a sign on your hand, on your eyes, and put them on the doorpost. And so literally, the children are thinking, this is what we're talking about, this is what I'm hearing about, and this is what I'm seeing. The word teaching them diligently, it's the word that can mean sharpen repetitively. Sharpen repetitively, and then the form, the word that he uses is an intensive form of it. And so when he says teaching them diligently, the sharpening and repetitive motion, it has a military reference of constantly sharpening your knives and sharpening your swords and sharpening these weapons over time has an effect. And so to repetitively, intentionally teach the children what you love, who God is. And so that requires intentionality on our part. Intentionality. So the question I would have you answer, parents, is how will you teach your children about God? Every parent needs to answer that question, because you will teach your children something about God, whether it's intentional or not. And so you might as well make it intentional. And if your answer is, well, I'm going to take them to church, we have just a little bit of time to teach your children. And it's probably not a wise answer to say, I'm just going to take them to church. Because the fact of the matter is, God has given you the responsibility, and thus we're held accountable to how we teach our children. You can delegate it if you want to, but you still will be accountable before God. And you are the one who is most with your child, especially in their younger years. And so I would ask you personally, how will you teach your children about God? Do you have a plan? For me, growing up, yes, church was a part of life, and it was a part of life whether we were on vacation or not. I would encourage you to say worship is a part of your routine, that you don't really ever take vacation from worshiping the Lord. So what did that look like for us? Well, wherever we happen to be on a Sunday morning, my dad's a pastor, so we weren't many Sundays gone, but wherever we were at, we kind of looked ahead and said, okay, this is where we're going to be. What church do we know about? And let's go to church. And that's just what we did. Why was that important for me? Because my dad got paid by church. And if dad only went to church when he got paid to go to church, then it would seem as just as a job. All right, but it helped me to understand that this is part of what we do, whether you're working at our church or not. It's who we are. It's what we long to do, we want to do, and we get to know people of His body as we go. And so worship became part of something that we just did week in, week out. All right, and so what else did we do? Well, mom and dad would both tell me Bible stories. Have opportunity to tell Bible stories. I'd encourage you to have a way to tell Bible stories. What did it look like? Well, for a while, it was dad just gathering the kids up, and he would just, out of his mind, start telling the story. He was a pretty good storyteller. And so we'd listen, and then we'd have prayer together. Well, growing up for us, what we did, sometimes when the girls were young, I did the let's tell a Bible story. When the boys were young, we did the picture action Bible. Some of you, one of the things that I read as I grew up was this action Bible is a Bible in comic book form. I read it multiple times through the year. I just loved the comic book. And so we used the action Bible and we started just telling the Bible stories as we go. And so we did that at night. In the morning time, we would have a devotion. What did that look like? It looked like 3-4 minutes of reading our daily bread and then having a prayer together. Our daily bread was a devotion that was put out, and so we would read that. And so in our lifestyle, we still have some morning time where I will bring in, right now I'm reading Thoughts to Make Your Heart Sing, and encouraging folks to say, hey, let's just get this thought. When we're not doing that, sometimes we've done daily bread. Sometimes I'm asking them questions that they have been working and memorizing, or verses that they're working on through the RAs or various other things that's going on in our church. But we're having an intentional plan. So it has to be intentional, but then it also has to be repetitive. Notice how he's going about this. When he talks about this, he says, talk about them as you walk, as you sit, when you lie down, when you rise. The point that he's trying to bring out is the rhythm of your day. How is God and conversations about God entering into the rhythm of your life? All of us have different rhythms based on priorities, based on school, on extracurricular things. We all have our rhythms. But does your rhythm incorporate talking about the Lord? So, here's the question that's especially important here. Children, asking your parents, what are y'all listening to? It used to be, you know, family meal happened at the table. Now family meal happens in the car. A lot of our gathering time is in a car. And so, what do you listen to in the car? Is there conversations happening? Are there things that we're singing about? One of the things that we've been able to do recently, I'm so glad that David James and Josh have been able to do this, we've been able to recently put out the songs we're singing in advance and putting them on the website. This week we're able to get it on the website and we're putting out on social media. Why do we want that to happen? So that you'll know the song. How does that happen? We want you to listen to the song in the car. To worship in the rhythms of your life. And to figure out how to do that so that when the children come on Sunday, that they're singing the same songs on Monday and Tuesday, and that we are worshiping together in the rhythms of our life. And so this worshiping of the Lord is intentional, it is repetitive, but it's also in the rhythms of our day. Grandparents. We were celebrating our 50th, my parents' 50th anniversary this past summer. And so we all went together and we had all the, you know, the grandkids together and we were all staying together. At some point, mom and dad decided that they would share their testimony. So both of them got all the grandkids together and they shared about 10 minutes each how they came to know Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. We recorded it so that we would be able to keep it for the future. This was preceded by maybe a month or two before we found my grandmother's testimony where she had written it out, and then we found my granddad where he had written out his story that was kind of up to that point, which was probably in his 40s or 50s at the time that he wrote this. But we found it long after that, sharing how they came to know Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. Grandparents, do that. My granddad was 45 at the time I think he wrote that. So some of us need to start thinking about passing on the faith very intentionally, sharing the story of how God is moving in our life. When I was with my grandparents, we would always go, and it seemed like every time granddad would pray before we left. He wouldn't let us leave unless he prayed with us. Now, when I was 10 and 12, it was miserable because granddad prayed a long time. And we were always holding hands, and I'm always squirming, you know. And I knew that we couldn't leave unless granddad was praying. I remember his prayers was long, but I also remember that he always prayed for us. And that he saw it as something that we did together. So one of the things that we're trying to teach in our church is that the church is a family, but the family is a little church. And so what does it mean? That families are to pray together and that the children, the grandchildren, are to hear you praying for them. And to know that they care about you. And one of the ways they express that care is by your prayers for them. I knew that every day of my life, I had a whole group of people praying for me. Mom, dad, grandma, granddad, my aunt, uncle, my aunt and uncle still pray to this day, every day for us. Worship is to be in the rhythms of our life. It is to be repetitive. It is to be intentional. It is to be creative. Creative. Notice why he says, look and see. Do you see the law of God around you? And so the Jews of this day would take it very literal, and they will have these little signposts on their doors. If you go into around Orthodox Jews, I'll never forget when I flew to Israel and we started seeing the boxes, right? What that is they're obeying the scriptures and putting it as in between their eyes, the law of God. Children, what are your parents, what do you hear from your parents? What are they talking about? What do you see? What are they looking at? Parents, do what you look at convey worshiping of God? Back when I was young, it was things on the wall, right? And I'll never forget the little plaques here and there. My granddad in the living room had George Washington bowing in prayer at Valley Forge. And that was just, many of you seen that picture, but I remember as a child in the 80s seeing this picture there. He had a study. He wasn't a pastor, but he had a study. It was my dad's old bedroom. It was a table, and it had his bookshelves, and it's where he would go every day to read the Bible. Today we have man caves. maybe there needs to be some studies. But I remember when I'd go in there, he had this little saying, only one life will soon be passed, only what's done for Christ will last. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Found out later it was a quote from C.T. Studd, a missionary. But little things like that I would see on the wall. Hey, children, what's on the walls of your house? Look at the walls of your house. There was one time when we had the girls were young, and we decided, you know, I'm going to show you the pictures. Here's what we have on a wall, and here's why we have this picture on the wall. Some of them had scripture verses of it. Some of it was a picture of Charleston and the battery and what the significance of that was. And so these little things that we look at, and I don't know if parents, you've ever said to your children, have you noticed what's in the building here? That this is a little educational tool. There's some things here that you say, this is why that's there. This is why the Bible's there. This is why that table is there. This is what it says, this do in remembrance of me. Here's the banners, and here's where we find these inscriptions and the names about God. There's symbols everywhere, and the children sometimes are not going to learn just by hearing. It's a creative worship. It's using the arts. But I'm asking children to say, hey, parents, what are you looking at? And that's not just on the wall anymore, is it? That's, you know, the reality. Like this. Show your children what you're looking at. What do they see? What is it that got your attention? And this is where, as parents, we got to think about that a little bit, don't we? When the children are seeing what we're looking at, does it convey the worship of the Lord? Or is it some other worship that we're doing? At any moment, when a child's around you, let them see. This is what I'm doing. This is what I'm looking at. The worship of God, done with our eyes, done with our ears, done with our conversation. It's been said that of all the things that help children to walk in the faith, it wasn't just the church attendance, it wasn't whether or not they went in youth group or went on the youth retreats or in the Sunday school, it was a simple little characteristic. My parents talked about God in the everyday. That's it. Parents, just in the normal rhythm of their life, talked about God. It entered from just something we do to what we worship and what our life is about. So you have to be intentional, have to be repetitive, have to be creative. But it has to be in your heart to worship the Lord. We try to have little moments that we can help when children come. We have these little sermon notes pages for the children to Listen, when the children are in their Sunday school classes, we give them a connection page. We want them to take that home. Why? So that you will ask them about what they learned on Sunday morning. We're trying to create that, but we can't make that happen. All we can do is just kind of lay the table for you. But ultimately, it's up to you to decide, I'm going to talk about the Lord. When you have a bad day, how do you worship God? Even in those bad days. When there's concerns and challenges, do they see you pray as a couple together? Or as a single person together? Do they hear you sing a song? Is there worship close by? We're going to close in just a little bit. But my challenge is simply this. Grandparents, mother, father, uncle, niece, aunt, how will you bring up your faith with your child? Whether it's your niece, your grandchild, your hey, if you don't have any children around you, find some here. All right? There's plenty here. Find some here. Because some have children here and their extended family is way beyond elsewhere. They could use some here. And make a very intentional point. I want to talk with them about God. Maybe what you need to do is write down your testimony. Share with them how you came to know Jesus as your Savior and Lord. One of the great things I had was asking my father-in-law not too long ago. So I know you're a man of faith. I see it. Can you tell me? Did you grow up going to church? Oh, no, didn't. What was the difference? Linda, my wife, she showed me what it was to follow Jesus. And even then, when we were young, I didn't do it well. But I learned to follow the Lord. And to hear Him say that will be a blessing. If your children and your grandchildren, your nieces and your nephews can hear you say that, you have no idea how God can use that in their life. Will they come and follow Jesus Christ? Between them and God. God gave instructions and He wanted to pass on a generation of faith to one to the other. But this is also about your worship. Whether your children will follow you in faith or not isn't the point. Because I've seen many people get derailed here because family starts rising above God. The point is, worship God. And don't hide it from others. Worship God. Be unashamed, especially with those nearby. And let God deal with your children and your grandchildren. Because one of the things that's most hard to learn as a parent is that you cannot write your child's story. Did you know that? I didn't. I still argue with that. Because I have a pretty good plan for them, you know. But God does. God can write their story. And He's worth trusting. He's worth worshiping. Let's pray. Father God, I thank You for being able to have a family where we learn of You. Lord, I thank You for the worship and that I've seen in my family, my parents, my grandparents. And Lord, I thank You for being able to worship You in different ways in my family. God, I pray that the children can ask those questions of the parents, that the parents can answer with worship of what they look at, what they hear, what they talk about, Lord, that You would be close by on our lips. Lord, I thank you that you are a good, good Father to us. And you teach us what it is to know love and forgiveness. Oh, Lord, I pray that you would be the most important thing in our life every day. And that as families, that we would learn to see the beauty of worshiping you. We pray this in your name.